Let's take our Bibles and go to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 1. We're going to begin in verse 18 this morning. And we're also beginning a series in the book of Matthew, Our Sovereign King. You remember, Matthew presents Jesus as King. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. John as the deity, the Son of God. And Mark presents him as the suffering servant, right? I got that right? And so we're going to begin today, and I timed this so we can begin the first two messages here at Christmas time. So today I want to talk to you about what child is this? God in the flesh is the most extraordinary miracle in the Bible outside of the resurrection of Christ. I cannot get over it. See, in my latter years, my focus is not on, quote, Christmas as it's celebrated, but it's on the fact that God became flesh and came and died for our sins. In these simple eight verses, there's another nugget that we don't want to miss. Not only how did this child come to us, but there's a nugget we don't want to miss here, and that is the story of adoption. We often leave that out with Joseph here. It's the story of adoption. As we studied this text, we see that he was not the father, the biological father of Jesus, right? And so we see adoption. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. If only the world could see and understand and have spiritual eyes to see the incarnation of God down becoming flesh so that he can die for our sins, as Margene sang about. So I have two questions I want to answer from our text. In fact, this morning and tonight will be questions. Number one, how did Jesus come? And number two, what child is this? How did Jesus come? Let's begin, first of all, in chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. You know what that means? In other words, it's translated as, this is how it happened. So how did Jesus come? Now notice, when his mother was espoused to Joseph. Now, the Holy Spirit goes into great detail here to protect the virgin birth, right? His mother. Didn't say anything about Joseph being his father. Mary was espoused to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband. Notice it doesn't say the father of Jesus, right? When Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen right there?
Amen.
Amen. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. What does Jesus mean? For he shall save his people from their sins. Yahweh, Jehovah saves. That's his earthly name. Now notice what it says in verse 22. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Father, I pray this morning as we open this text, as we explain this text and get into not only on this wise, how did Jesus come, but also what child is this in the manger. Father, I pray you teach us this morning from your word. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. How did Jesus come on this wise? How did it take place? Well, first of all, you'll see in verse 18 that Christ is not Jesus' last name. A lot of people say he's Jesus Christ. Christ is his last name. You ever heard that, Brother Robert? No, he is Jesus. Jehovah says he is the Christ. He is God. He is deity. He is the Messiah. He is the anointed one. That's what the text is talking about. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's more than just a beautiful babe in a manger. And I have a suspicion. I don't want to read into the text nothing that's not here. But most babies look ugly when they're born, but Jesus didn't, right? I mean, I believe he was a purdy baby when he was born. I don't even believe his head was lopsided, you know, when that happened here. So he is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the Messiah that Anna and Simeon, as Brother Ray talked about in Sunday school morning, that they were waiting to come, the Messiah. See, I like the word Christ. Amen. Somebody give me an amen right there. Because he is the promised Messiah. Notice also a word that we need to explain here in verse 18, the word espoused. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, Jesus wasn't born out of wedlock. Joseph wasn't his father. He was born of the Holy Ghost. The second person of the Trinity became flesh in Mary's womb. I cannot understand that. That's I'll have to let Faye help me understand that. That's too far for me. That's too deep here. But notice this. The word espoused, it can mean betrothed. And this espousal or betrothal was a legal marriage. And the couple would separate for a year. And then the father would say, go get your bride and bring her to my house. And you're going to consummate the marriage. See, they were legal, as legally as you can be married. Jesus Christ was not born out of wedlock, right? This was a legal marriage. And it took a written bill of divorcement, Deuteronomy chapter 24, 21, to break this marriage. But you know what? As I thought about that, I thought about the church. Christ is the bridegroom and we are the bride. And the Holy Spirit uses the same analogy for us and Jesus. We have been espoused to Christ through our repentance and faith in him. And right now we're in the betrothal stage where we're separated from him, if you will. It's been over 2,000 years. But one day the Father's going to say, son, go get your bride. And he's going to take us to the Father's house. And that's where the wedding, the marriage is going to be consummated at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Amen. In Revelation chapter 20. Good. Folks, I tell you what. Man, if you're not excited about your Christianity, you need to get a little Babacostal in your foot right now. I mean, this is exciting. We are a picture of Joseph. We're a picture of what Christ has done for us here in this text. So the bridegroom, they were legally married. Now, notice something else in verse 18c through 19. The Bible says when Mary was espoused of Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Man, can't you imagine the talk around Jerusalem and talk around Nazareth, talk around wherever? They couldn't understand that Joseph was not the father. In fact, the scribes and Pharisees always in the gospel referred to Joseph as the father of Jesus because they were spiritually blind. They couldn't understand here. Before she came together, before they had sexual relations, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, this is a supernatural conception when the second person of the Trinity who always existed, who was the Creator. See, this is why I don't major so much on the fact of Christmas as it's celebrated today. Because Jesus always existed. I don't celebrate his birthday on the 25th. I celebrate him becoming flesh and dwelling among us. Amen? I need more amens there, Wendell. See if you can pump some up here. The supernatural conception of the second person of the Trinity in the Godhead, of the Godhead in Mary's womb. And we're told, and we'll look at it tonight, how the Holy Spirit enveloped, engulfed, surrounded the womb of Mary. And the second person of the Trinity, through the miracle of the incarnation, came down, was conceived in human flesh in Mary's womb. You see, Christmas is not about the twinkling of Santa's eye. It's not about the lights. It's not about the trees. It's not even in the giving of gifts. It's not about, as the world celebrates, it's not about Macy's. It's not about Black Friday sales. It's not about this. It's not about that. It's not a mystical experience of Christmas. You see movies on channels now that say the magic of Christmas. There is no magic to Christmas. Can I get an amen there? There is a miracle of Christmas. when he became flesh and dwelt among us. I know you've heard and you've been keeping up while we're talking about Christmas. You heard the recent things about Hallmark. Hallmark, I had a commercial about two women kissing, two lesbians were kissing on Hallmark Channel, right? But praise God, Christians and conservatives rose up and they took the commercial off, right? But it's coming back. It will eventually. But this young couple here, you can imagine the feelings that they had. Joseph, you know, hey, I haven't been with Mary. And Mary, Joseph hasn't been with me nor any other man. Now, I am not to read into the text the feelings and opinions of those involved in the text. Y'all know that. But I'm going to just tell you what Joseph's reaction was in just a moment. What a surprise. This virgin, and she was a virgin. It doesn't mean she was a young maiden, but she was a virgin. Never been with a man. You see, it had to be a virgin womb, and it had to be not a man being her father, right, for us to be saved in our sins, right? So you can imagine his reaction. Notice verse 19 in his reaction. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily or privately. See, Joseph knew he had two options. Number one, he could divorce her privately and not shame her. Or he could go public with it and shame her. He would have to give her a bill of divorcement. In those days with the Jews, if your wife burnt the toast, you could get a bill of divorcement, right? How many of us wouldn't be married today, amen, right? The least little thing, any kind of defilement found in her, he could get a written divorcement and not be with her anymore. So the angel of the Lord, we'll know more about tonight when we talk about what did Mary know. It's interesting here. We often sing that song, and I don't mean to knock it too much. Mary, did you know? Listen, Mary knew more than we'll ever know, right? Y'all hear me? Mary knew more than we'll ever know. In Luke chapter 3, verse 23 through 38, we see Mary's lineage in the line of Christ, line of David. But here in Matthew chapter 1, the beginning verses, we see the lineage of Joseph in the line of Christ, right? What did Mary know? Well, she knew more than we give her credit for. We sing that song and act like we're informing her about what happened, you know? And she can inform us because she was person to person with God, with the angel, and she knew all about it. Amen? Notice verse 21. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. He was told to name him Jesus, Jehovah Saves. He will be the Savior of his people from their sins. So when he says, take unto you Mary as your wife, he was basically told, this is your adopted son, and take him and raise him. And he did. You know, we talk about the story of adoption. I admire people that adopt children. It's a lot better than killing them in the mother's womb. Amen? I admire people who adopt children. But you know, all of us are adopted. As a child of God, we are a child of God, and we have been adopted into the family of God as adult sons, with all the rights and the privileges of what it means to be a son, right? We don't have to grow into our inheritance. At the moment God adopts us into the family of God, we have the inheritance of Christ, amen? So I admire that. But we're all adopted. And next time you want to speak out against adoption, you remember you were adopted too, amen, in the family of God. And Joseph had no relations with her. Notice what the text says there in verse 22. Now this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, prophet Isaiah. But going down, and it says, he took him to his wife, and he basically didn't know her until after he was born. Now, how did Jesus come? He came on this wise. You see, I don't know where Catholics get off outside of just being ignorant that Mary was a perpetual virgin. She was not. Jesus had, I believe, right, correct me if I'm wrong here, some of you, but Jesus had four adopted brothers, half-brothers, and two half-sisters, right? And all that was done after Christ was born. She was not a perpetual virgin, as they teach. Now, there's a lot of things about Mary that got wrong, amen? We've been through that years and years here at Trinity. But you know what this wise tells me? He came to us on this wise in this way. See, if Joseph is not the father, and he's not, that means that salvation is not of man, but it's of God. Amen? It's not of man, it's of God. If Joseph had been the father, you and I would still be in our sins. We would have Joseph's sin nature, right? And even if Mary was a virgin and Joseph was the father, we're in our sins. But also too, if the Holy Spirit would not have involved and surrounded a non-virgin womb, because we would still be in our sins, right? Are y'all following your pastor this morning? Now, she was not a perpetual virgin. There's nothing we can do to save ourselves. Nothing. So how did Jesus come? Through the miracle of the incarnation in the womb of a virgin that never knew a man. That brings us to the second question. It gets gooder and gooder. Hold on. We're going to start putting handles on the pews, Marcus, so they can hold on. I don't know, though. They may hold on and try to, when Jesus comes, might stay here or something or other. What child is this? Oh, yes, the world worships a manger scene, walks by and says, oh, what a pretty baby. Right? And they have no concept of it. But we'll talk about that in a few weeks, about why this baby grew up to be who he was and why that offends them. Okay? What child is this? Several times it's mentioned the child, the child, the child. What child is this? The virgin birth of Jesus is foundational for why we worship and why we follow, why we serve, and why we proclaim him. Had he not been virgin born, we would not have any salvation to follow, to claim, and to go to heaven with, right? What child is this? Well, number one, this child was fully human. He was born of a woman like us in human flesh. Number two, this child possessed human characteristics. If he's fully human, he possessed human characteristics. He possessed a body like us. This sovereign creator had to learn how to speak. The one who spoke this world into existence, ex nihilo, by his spoken word, spoke it into existence in 6-day creation, 24-hour day creations, had to learn to speak himself, amen? And he learned how to grow. The Bible says he had to grow emotionally, mentally, and physically, right? But yet he was God. He experienced human weakness like us. His own family recognized him as a mere man, right? It wasn't until after the resurrection that they believed. He was tempted in all points, as we are. So people get that confused. I taught you that before now. What does that mean? Did he go through every temptation we go? He was tempted in all points. Genesis 3, as he was, the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. In the wilderness, when he was tempted, the three temptations by Satan was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So he was tempted in all points, as we were. Now this child was not only fully human, but he was fully divine. Matthew goes on in his gospel to tell us. He had power over disease. Amen? Only God could do that. He had command over nature, over his own creation. He had authority over sin. He had power over death. He was the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. I'm glad we are not like others who believe you have to go to Mary to get to Jesus. Amen? He's the only mediator. You don't even have to come through me. You go directly to God, right? He had power over the devil and over demons. See, he had to conquer all these things. He was proving to the world that he was the Messiah. That's why Jesus worked miracles, because when the Messiah came, he was going to work miracles, and they still did not see it, right? He had power over his own creation. If he created and he sustains it, he has power over it, right? He was fully human and he was fully God. And we'll get into that, what that means tonight, okay? The two natures. And then I believe, fourthly, this is an amazing child in the manger. Some of you may want to get a copy of this when I get through with it. He was born a baby, yet he created and sustains his creation. He was born, yet he existed eternally. The one who came into time existed eternally. He was tired, yet he was omnipotent. He died for our sins, yet he knew no sin. He ascended to heaven, yet he lives in us. Wow. How could God be at the right hand of the Father and omniscient, omnipresent everywhere, and yet live in us, right? That is amazing. I see some of y'all, this doesn't even move you whatsoever. Well, something's wrong with your fibrillator, right? You need to move up that fibrillator just a little bit, amen? And put it on the excitable bearing, right, if I will. He ascended to heaven, yet he lives in us. He was omniscient, yet he limited his use of his divine attributes when he became flesh. Don't let anybody ever tell you that Jesus left his deity in heaven. No. What he left in heaven was his right to use certain attributes while he was in flesh. This baby in a manger is at the right hand of the Father, yet he lives in us. And I like this one. I don't know where I got this from, but it came to me. This baby who went on a donkey to be born will come again on a white charger to reign. Did y'all hear that? This baby who rode on a donkey. By the way, I want you to do a study. I want you to do a study. Take the gospel accounts that cover Joseph and Mary going to Bethlehem, and you will not find anywhere in those accounts where Mary actually rode on the donkey. Okay? Y'all do that and get back with me tonight. Don't look at me like a calf looking at a new gate. You look at it yourself. You look. Now, I don't know. She might have rode on a donkey, but the text does not say she rode on a donkey. Well, we know Joseph didn't, right? So you look that up sometime. I didn't mean to stir the pot this morning, but you look up, what does the scripture say, okay? This baby who went on a donkey to be born will come again in the white charger to reign. The truth that God became flesh is both incomprehensible and irresistible to those who believe. You see, because we're saved, because we have the Holy Spirit living within us, this truth, we don't have to have it all laid out for us exactly how it happened. We believe it, right? That God became flesh. He was God and human flesh come to reign with us. So when you go out and you see the festivities of how the world celebrates Christmas, please, church, keep your mind focused on the incarnation. God became flesh and dwelt among us, right? Now, I want to ask you a question in closing. Do you know this God? Do you know this God? Do you know that you know that you know? Are you just a church attender? You come here once in a while. Do you have a personal relationship with the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ? I'm not asking you if you know about him. I'm asking you if you have heart knowledge of him, right? Is he your Lord and your Savior? Is he your Lord and Savior? I believe with all my heart, our church would be full if that was a reality. Amen? And Brother Robert, I like what you posted on our private Facebook page about Martin Lloyd-Jones. I may mess it up here, but we don't preach to fill our church. We preach to save souls from hell. That's what we do, right? It's basically something like that. Do you know him? This Christmas season, don't walk out of here and celebrate Santa Claus. I know I'm being hard this morning. Celebrate the incarnation, that God became flesh. And I always remember what John Miller used to tell me. Y'all remember John Miller? He'd get up and he'd say, "I hate Santa. He's an imposter. He's an imposter." And by the way, in case you just got on board, everything we celebrate, Satan counterfeits. Are you with me? Father, I pray this morning. There's one here this morning that does not know this Jesus, but it became flesh in a manger 2,000 years ago about. He just wasn't a pretty baby. He was the Lord Jesus Christ, God come to save his people from their sins. They don't want that. They don't want that, and we'll talk more about that in a few weeks. They want a sweet little baby in a manger. In fact, there's a song about that, "Sweet Little Baby Jesus." No, folks, help us to go beyond that, to understand this is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah who came to save us from our sins. He is God in human flesh so that he could identify with us. So one here this morning, Father, has gotten off track in the way they celebrate. I pray this morning that the Word of God will bring them back. If there's one here this morning that doesn't know Jesus, I pray today will be the day when they will come and repent of their sins and place their faith in Christ alone, in his work on the cross for heaven. Whatever it might be, Lord, maybe today we need to understand and appreciate our salvation more. Whatever it might be, we want to give this time of sacred invitation to you to work in the hearts of men. You've already been working through the message. Your Spirit has been moving and teaching and convicting different things in our lives. And now it's time to respond. Have your will and way. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.